Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It is hour number 4 of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Thanks for making us part of it. Okay, coming up at 5:20, Denton Day. We'll talk college football and Washington Commanders football with him. He's out of the D.C. area and hosts a college football overtime on Sirius. So we're looking forward to talking national championship game with him and picking his brain about what's gone right with the Commanders. Okay, right now it's time for an edition of The Finest. Here's the chief.
All right, 877-881-1053. What's the best storyline remaining here in the postseason? The four remaining teams, Chiefs, Bills, Commanders, Eagles, going on to win it all. What would be the coolest story of them all? Because I think they're all, I mean, you have the three-peat with Kansas City. You have rookie quarterback Jaden Daniels taking
first
the league by storm and going winning a Super Bowl. You have Buffalo, you know, finally getting it done, actually winning one after all the years of misery. And then I don't really know. I guess with the Eagles, it's a tip of the cap to their front office being able to change coaching staffs and rosters over the course of less than a decade and finding yourself in multiple different Super Bowl occasions. Doing it with Nick Foles, doing it with now Jalen Hurts. You've already been to a Super Bowl with Jalen Hurts, but continuing to reinvent yourself and staying in conference championship and Super Bowls. I mean, I think that's probably the least cool of the stories.
Yeah, as usual, they're pulling up the rear of the storylines.
Yeah.
That'd be the Eagles. I am kind of, there. To me, I'm very interested in the modern day Brady, Manning, Colts, Patriots is Josh Allen and Pat Mahomes. And Manning got his, right, in 06. He was getting knocked off by Brady and the Pats. It feels to me like to make a good rivalry, the other team's got to win at some point. And the Bills have done it in the regular season. They've yet to do it in the postseason. And it's something feels different about that Bills team this year. And I think Kansas City, if they win, if the three-peat's on, I don't think the Commanders or Eagles are beating either of them in the Super Bowl.
I think the thing that's different is Josh Allen's just not turning the football over. You know,
Yes.
They've got
no negative plays.
Got a good run game with Cook.
Yeah, I think that's huge. But, you know, so if I'm going to power rank these stories, it's the Chiefs going for the three-peat and trying to chase down Tom Brady. We're watching that in real time. Dynasties define eras. And I root for the dominance to continue, you know. So I'm rooting for Patrick Mahomes. After that, it's, you know, the Commanders and trying to get it done with a rookie quarterback in division. Then it's the Bills finally trying to break through, get back to the Super Bowl. And then, you know, it's just the Eagles are kind of, you know, boring dominance at this point. And, you know, the job that the front office has done, it's very relevant for conversation. And obviously for the Cowboys, you know, we're stuck in between, you know, maybe rooting for Howie Roseman to do another in-your-face to the Cowboys front office and show everything that is wrong with the way that they team build. And rooting against them, you know, because I don't want to see them in New Orleans. I don't, you know, at least it's not Minnesota where they were 7 or 8 years ago when they won it with Nick Foles, because that radio row was literally inside a mall food court and the Eagles fans assembled.
Oh, they planted the flag.
And it was constantly fly, Eagles, fly. Like, you would hear that constantly. You destroyed our ratings. I assume New Orleans is going to be, you know, in a conference hall somewhere away from the riffraff, so we won't have to deal with that. But seeing them out and about flexing is about one of the most obnoxious things you'll see. It's like the bad guy at a party who's too drunk times 20,000.
Yeah, yeah. It really is, dude. It really is. I think the... I'm with you on the Chiefs, the three-peat. I want that. We're in the midst of it, and that's obviously not going to last forever here. But how long can we stretch this out? I am in favor of that. And then it would have to be the Jaden Daniels stuff. What he's doing right now, he's going to be the sixth rookie quarterback all time to start in a conference championship game.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, no rookie quarterback's ever won a Super Bowl. It'd be an incredible story. I needed to stop here, though. Like, I've been on the Commanders bandwagon, okay? The pop-up here, I was here on this.
So you need the Eagles thing to continue? That's the thing.
No, they can get to the Super Bowl and lose. I can't. No.
You can't.
No Commander Super Bowl.
Okay, I got you.
I'm picking them against the Eagles. I have to. I'd rather Commanders get there than the Eagles get there again. But I think the Jaden Daniels storyline stops there. And hopefully he never gets back to a Super Bowl unless he changes teams.
Do you guys know the other five quarterbacks not named Jaden Daniels to start as a rookie in the conference championship game?
Is Mark Sanchez one of them?
Mark Sanchez in 2010. Ding! Dawson's on the board.
Roethlisberger?
2005, Ben Roethlisberger. Ding! He loses to the Patriots, of course. But he's there. It was a fun Steelers season. Defense was getting it done in a huge way for them. You have two other quarterbacks in the 2000s. And then actually last year we had a guy.
Oh, Purdy?
Brock Purdy. In 2000, you had a quarterback. And in 2008, you had another.
Oh, my gosh. Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Changed quarterbacks midseason. Sean King.
Big Sean King. That's a good pull, Walchuk.
Wow, good job.
One more left on the board. The only other rookie quarterback to start in a conference championship game.
Flacco?
Joe Flacco, 2008. Ding, ding, ding. Football nice guy of the day. Mr. Zach Wolchuk. Really
again?
Impressive. Really freaking impressive stuff right there, dude. Again. That's right. Again.
Feeling a heater, boys.
Okay. Let's take a look at some of these games here. You had Jaden Daniels completing 12 of 16 attempts against the Blitz, 191 yards and a touchdown, second most passing yards against the Blitz by a rookie in a game in the next-gen era. I thought that was one of the big things there, that Aaron Glenn kept sending pressure.
Yeah.
And they were having more guys fall in the middle of this game that was hurting them. Amik Robertson, their starting corner, gets injured on like the first drive of the game. And so they probably felt like, okay, we're going to have to maybe change things up a little bit, and they sent the blitz, and just about every single time they did, it was a positive play for the Commanders. And I think that was probably one Aaron Glenn would like to have that back, because smaller samples, but when you look when they just rushed four and dropped into his own coverage, Jaden Daniels was not the same. You're talking about like a 40% success rate, Daniel Jones level success rate stuff.
Ouch.
But when they blitzed him and they decided to do that way too often, he made them pay in a huge way. So that's one of the things that stood out.
Yeah, it was obvious as well. You know, do you still win if you don't have the four turnovers? Maybe, probably, you know, but looking at those numbers, it became totally obvious. They just couldn't handle anything that Washington was throwing at them one-on-one.
Yeah, and Jared Goff on the other end of the spectrum, I mean, in clean pockets, he was dialed 10 of 11, 137 yards. When he got pressured, he reverted back to the old under-pressure Jared Goff. 3 of 10, 43 yards, a touchdown, 2 picks. So he was not the same quarterback under pressure. That's been the problem pretty much his entire career. He avoided that for the most part this season, but it all came back. I mean, Fowler, I'll tell you what, Dante Fowler was playing with his freaking hair on fire.
Sure.
He was standing out all game long. Of course, Dorrance Armstrong had the sack fumble that was big, and I think he had another sack to go along with
it.
But, yeah, the pass rush was really, really getting to Jared Goff.
Yeah, they another thing that Goff, he had 3 interceptions were against the two deep coverage, split safeties coverage, and that's the most interceptions in the game since week 14, 2018 against the Bears. But they're saying the Commanders just allow 10 completions for 112 yards on 23 pass attempts when playing split safety coverage, compared to 12 completions for 199 on 15 pass attempts when playing single high. Goff's only touchdown of the day was thrown against cover 0. So that's an all-out blitz. So obviously they saw if they put two safeties back there that he was going to have problems, and sure enough that he did.
Another guy that really stood out this weekend was George Karloftis. Oh my gosh, for the Chiefs, the Greek freak.
Tremendous draft show clip got to make a circle around Twitter because of that.
Was that Broadus shouting him out on draft day?
No, man, like he, yeah, on draft day he gets picked, but they have a wide receiver that, you know, Karloftis, this kid, this receiver from Purdue couldn't run to begin with. But what did Karloftis do? He, like, makes all the Purdue players go outside and run 40s and basically sleet. And so he takes off his shirt and all that. So here's this kid who can't run to begin with. Karloftis is like, no, we're running outdoors. So the kid gets even slower time. So, yeah, Karloftis. That was my
Karloftis.
Yeah. I'm Karloftis. Damn it.
Look at me.
You know, look at me. You know. That's how I kind of, you know. But yeah, he was like, he went out there and ran 40s. You know, like, and they're like, all these guys are like, no, wait, we've got an indoor facility. Karloftis is like, no, we're going to run outside.
We're going to prove how tough we are.
Yeah. So, and the kid ran slower.
Wow. Well, he was dominant versus the Texans, and the Chiefs were pressuring C.J. Stroud at a rapid rate. I think it was like 56% pressure rate, one of the best pressure rates we've seen in a postseason game. They were all over him. I don't know. I guess the refs were doing some pretty good pass rushing out there, Walchuk.
I know, right? It's unbelievable.
Getting a lot of that about the ref show. And, yeah, a couple of those calls were tough, man. But if you're going to lower your head into the chin of the GOAT and you're going to come in there and try to spear him, when he's dancing around, I don't like the dancing around, wait for a defender and then drop. I don't like that. But you have to understand when you're going head hunting on the GOAT, it's going to get called on you. That's unfortunate.
I'm ready to get these calls for years.
The Chiefs were obviously better. Now,
I mean, head hunting is one thing, but what if you're going into the chest and he drops into head range? You know, The competition committee has to eliminate those next year.
Yeah, it's the same issue I've got with targeting in college. For that, like, sometimes it's like it's so difficult. It's a bang bang play where when we're slow motion everything. Yeah, but these guys, there's only so much you can do. But when you hit the quarterback's head, it's going to get flagged. I'd want Dak to have gotten those calls. Mm-hmm. Would he have? No. So I understand the frustration that Mahomes always gets the benefit of the doubt. But when he's the best player in the league, they're going to get the benefit of the doubt.
The Chiefs have also had the most offensive holding calls called on them this season. So it's not like they're just completely out to try and help the Chiefs get victories here. Now, again, like I mentioned earlier, the Mahomes flop on the sidelines, that was a no call, and I'm glad they no called it. Didn't like that. Bush League, be better. You're the GOAT. Be better. Now, I did want to...
Juwan Taylor played really well because they were really worried about the pass rush there from the Texans. Like, he only gave up, like, one pressure in that game. Whereas, you know, they'd had, like, the last time that they played, he'd given up, like, seven pressures. So,
see if he can do it against playoff Vaughn.
Yeah, they got much better protection in that game, the Kansas City Chiefs did, than before.
Well, big credit to Sean McDermott, head coach and defensive guy for the Bills, because they blitzed Lamar Jackson at almost a 50% clip on his dropbacks, and that was the fifth highest blitz rate in a game under Sean McDermott and highest in a game since week 15 of 2021. They went against what they usually like to do,
yeah.
And the Bills generated 9 pressures across 15 blitzes compared to just 4 pressures without blitzing. So that was something that I don't think the Ravens were necessarily prepared for. And the other thing, too, is McDermott decided to play more man coverage, and it was the highest rate that the Bills had played man coverage since week 12 of 2022.
Yeah.
And the Bills generated pressure on all 7 plays in man compared to 1 pressure on 8 plays in zone. And so that was another thing. And when you consider the fact that the Ravens had lost Bateman late in that game, they didn't have Zay Flowers,
yeah.
It makes a ton of sense. Like, dude, yeah. You can, none of these guys really scare you on the outside. That's why you were like, man, please just let Lamar run or Derrick Henry run a little bit more. How many design runs do you think they had for Lamar Jackson yesterday? Design runs for Lamar Jackson.
Ooh, it's a great question. I don't remember a ton. I'm going to say 4.
I'm going to say 0.
None? Because
that's how many it was.
Ooh.
Todd Monken came out there and ran his MVP quarterback intentionally 0 times in the ballgame.
Wow. And they only had 16 carries for Henry?
Not enough.
Yeah.
Not enough.
I mean, the criticisms on Todd Monken when he's not in the process of having a season like he just had has always been that he gets too pass happy. And that's about the worst I could ever see it, you know, only outdone by Ben Johnson, whose Jahmyr Gibbs was running less for even more yards per attempt, like 40% more yards per attempt. Ben shut him down.
How about Jared Verse?
Oh, man, he's
Rams lose savage. The game, but Jared Verse the rookie edge out of FSU. He reached 21.6 miles per hour when he was trying to chase down Barkley on the first big touchdown run that he had.
That's incredible.
26.1 miles per 26.1? Hour. 21.6.
That's still flying.
21.6
that's receiver.
Absolutely flying.
Fast. Did Turpin get that going that fast?
Turpin, yes, but I think I saw it compared to Xavier Worthy. Woo! The all-world speed demon out of Texas now with the Chiefs, and I think Verse hit a higher number than Worthy's hit all season.
That's amazing.
I think, you know, the Rams obviously are an incredibly well-coached team. I feel like they're one draft away from being back in this thing.
Yeah, their defensive line.
Absolutely.
And Braden Fisk getting knocked out. Yeah. Quinion Mitchell got her on the other side. So, but that certainly hurt their run defense. But they're building a fearsome defensive line with Verse and Fisk and Turner and Young.
Yeah.
They're pretty loaded, and they're all dudes on the rookie deals right now.
Wow. Thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
In addition to the finest, most every evening at 5 o'clock, we're chatting with Denton Day, host of College Football Overtime on Sirius. He also works at 106.7 The Fan in D.C. We'll tell you all about the Commanders as well coming up next. It's the G-Bag Nation. And the
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Mix and match 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries for $2.99 each when you buy three. Take advantage of this exclusive digital deal. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, $3.97 per pound, limit one package. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Fan. All right, welcome back, Nation. Ross is in for Lucius today, so there will not be an LA Live, but coming up at about 5:40 or so, we will get you up to date on everything that's been developing throughout your broadcast day, including a couple of very interesting talking points on the Cowboys coaching search and everything else going on that's been, breaking. Okay, segment here is brought to you by the On-Time Experts, and it's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Denton Day is the host of College Football Overtime on Sirius Satellite Radio. He also works at 106.7 The Fan in D.C., and he joins us now here to talk about both things, college football and your Commanders, and a good evening to you. How the heck are you?
I'm great, fellas. As you can imagine, the city of D.C. is about as lit as it's ever been in my lifetime at this point in January, based on how the football team is performing. So it's a great time to be a Commanders fan, and we get championship college football tonight. I'm thriving.
Yeah, remind us, what is it like on a Monday with your team going to the NFC title game around there?
I mean, I don't want to rub it in your guys' face, but it's pretty jazzed up. I mean, this is the first time they've been there since 91. Just for context, I was born in 95, so I've never experienced this level of success. I've only heard stories from those that are my elders. So to finally be able to experience it and the way that they played this weekend, I mean, everybody, all of those that were apathetic for a long time, and I was kind of in that group for a little bit, we have all returned. Everyone is back. Burgundy and gold is being worn all over the city. It really is fascinating to see just how much a couple of players, good management, and not having a terrible owner does to a team.
Yes, man, and I wanted to ask you about that. What all has gone right to make this happen, other than, you know, getting the quarterback? Obviously, the Cowboys, you know, need some sort of a catalyst, some sort of a turnaround. From your perspective, you know, what are the most important things that have developed for you to give this Commanders team this level of success?
Well, something that had hampered our organization for a while, that probably is something that you guys are dealing with, is we don't have an owner anymore that wants to play hero and wants to play essentially God over the team. He hired football people and he let football people do their jobs. Adam Peters did a really good job finding a bunch of guys on really small contracts, getting a lot of these dudes on one-year deals who have really stepped up. And then really it's just when you have a quarterback that is a legitimate game wrecker, the way that Jaden Daniels is, everything is possible. I look at the roster, and there's some good players certainly on offense, but it's not like it's this massive, talented group of skill position guys. You got Zach Ertz, who's like 50 years old. You have Deami Brown, who for the first 3 years of his career did really next to nothing in terms of impressive statistical performances. You got old-ass Austin Eckler, and you got a running back that for the last 6 weeks couldn't properly find a hole. But because you got a quarterback, you're in the NFC Championship game. He really lifts everyone that's around him. It's incredibly impressive.
Do you see sustainable success? The Cowboys beat him.
I do, because I think this is the worst roster that Jaden Daniels is ever going to play with. They have so much money in cap room coming up this offseason. I think they're going to adjust at a lot of the positions of need. They need a wide receiver, too. I think Deami Brown's played well over the past two games and well enough to stay here on another contract. But I still don't think he's a wide receiver, too. What you saw in that Dallas game was just a complete flat offense, at least the first one, really the second one, too. Mm. It was just complete flatness on offense. So I do think they'll go out there and get better, more explosive guys to make sure that that does not happen anymore.
You're talking with Denton Day here, live from D.C. Now, the 214, we got a text coming in, says, well, this dude says he doesn't want to rub it in. He's not doing a good job of it.
Wait, so I have a question for you guys, if I may. Speaking of rubbing it in, do you guys also find it weird how much Micah Parsons loves Jaden Daniels? Has that been a topic of discussion over the past couple of weeks? Because every time he opens his mouth, he's praising his rival quarterback. That is very weird.
We're used to it with Micah Parsons, to be honest.
We are.
He showed up at a Mavs 76ers game with a 76ers jersey on because he's from Philadelphia.
He's Darius Slay on the podcast regularly.
It's on brand.
Yeah. I mean, dude, the Packers beat us last year, and like 3 days later, Jordan Love is on Micah's podcast.
Anything for those views, right? As long as the headlines are getting clicked, he's going to keep having these dudes on.
I think Cowboys fans would be more appreciative of Jaden Daniels and everything the Commanders have going on if you guys could go take out the Eagles on Sunday. How do you like the chances of doing that?
I feel good. Obviously, I don't feel great. The Eagles are a really good team. And if you look at them just top to bottom roster-wise, I think they're the most talented roster in the NFL. The Commanders did have the fortune of beating them earlier this season. You know, Jalen Hurts didn't play a majority of that game, and Philadelphia fans will be very quick to remind you of that. But that doesn't take away the fact that the number one defense at the time in the NFL gave up 22 points in the fourth quarter. I think they'd allowed two touchdowns in the second half total in a game, and they allowed 22 in the fourth quarter. I think Jaden, that's really when the birth of Jaden Daniels, the legend, took place. Like, the fan base here knew that they had a guy for the future, but they didn't know what he was. And then when he had that performance against Philadelphia, that's really when his stardom skyrocketed here in town, and I think nationally as well. So I definitely feel good. I'd be silly to say that I would feel anything other than good after watching what Jaden has done the past 2 weeks.
Okay, Denton, this has been an enlightening conversation, and I hope that this ride for you ends in the Super Bowl. Take care of Filthy, and then go ahead and die against either the Chiefs or the Bills, okay? Let's talk college football, the national championship game, Ohio State-Notre Dame. Is there any chance the Irish can pull off the upset?
I definitely think there's a chance, not a great chance, but a chance. They really have to make sure they can't do what they did against Penn State, which is fall into a position of chasing. This Ohio State offense is too loaded. I mean, they're loaded everywhere, top to bottom on that offensive side and top to bottom on the defensive side as well. You can't get to a position if you're Notre Dame where you are at a clear disadvantage talent-wise to quickly finding yourself down 10-0, down 14-0, or even worse. If it's more than a two-score deficit at any point, this game is over. They don't have the firepower to be able to hang with Ohio State, which means they have to play near-perfect football to start this thing. You know, they either got to start with a big defensive stop or get the ball first and march down the field and score. Outside of that, outside of perfection for Notre Dame, I think they're going to be in a world of hurt today against Ohio State.
Denton, first off, I want to thank you for all my Sunday mornings very, very early. I listen to you while I go and do activities very early in the morning. So appreciate all your hard work in this season with the highlights and the interviews and stuff like that. I really enjoy listening to you on Sirius Satellite Radio. And I have a question for you about, with Ryan Day. Is this really the opportunity that Ryan Day gets to tell everybody to stick it up there, you know what, after tonight?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, he's been in these conversations for such a long time because if you really think about it, now that Saban's gone, there are not a lot of championship-winning coaches in college football because for such a long time, it's been dominated by either Saban, Kirby Smart, or every, 6 years, whoever's coaching LSU, and then they fire him. So it's been such a long time that we've had new blood win a championship. And, you know, Ryan Day has always had this mass amount of talent at his disposal. He has had great quarterbacks with Fields and C.J. Stroud at the college level, and they've never been able to get over that hump. You lose to Michigan earlier this year where everyone and their mother in Columbus is calling for this guy's job. That goes out the window if he goes and wins a championship, but it is also that proving ground that you mentioned to say, I am one of the best coaches in college football. So I absolutely think he needs to go out there from the standpoint of a Ryan Day legacy game. If there is one, it's tonight. They can't fall flat.
Denton, I was seeing Joel Klatt is ticked off about they're playing a Monday night game, college football national championship, middle of the NFL playoffs. Do you have any issue with this game being on a Monday night? Do you think the scheduling of the 12-team playoff, anything through this postseason that hasn't worked that you think maybe needs to be fixed moving forward?
I've always been a fan of the championship going to a Saturday just because you spend, 12, 14, 15, now 16 weeks with the expanded playoff, getting in kind of this rhythm of watching college football on Saturday and allowing yourself to stay up late and go out and party and you do and bet and do all these things. So I'm always in favor of it being on a Saturday, but I understand from the perspective of television that I guess Monday is a little more valuable. As far as falling in line with the NFL playoffs, I mean, that's why you can't play it on Saturday because God forbid, I mean, the ratings for these Saturday games this past, the Chiefs-Texans did, I think, 32 million. You know, Washington and Detroit, I think, did 33 million. You can't go up against one of those games if you're going to play your national championship then. So I understand not going up against the NFL there. Outside of that, I don't really mind it. I just, I'm an East Coast guy, so I don't like the late starts. I got to wake up at 5 a.m. in the morning. So I gotta take a nap or something during the day on Monday. But I guess I get it. You know, we've been so used to the Monday night championship games. My preference is always going to be Saturday, but television talks and everything else walks.
Denton, for a game like tonight with Notre Dame, Marcus Freeman, is this just a go for it on fourth down at every turn? Avoid punting at all costs?
Yeah, YOLO, right? I mean, you're playing with house money. nobody really anticipated that you were going to get there. And, you know, Riley Leonard, he's a fine college quarterback, but you kind of know what his limitations are. He's not going to be a guy that's going to throw it 30 times or have 30 completions, rather, for north of 300 yards. That's just not how he's built. That's not how this offense is built. Give it your best shot. Try some trick plays. Go for it. If it's fourth and six, go for it, right? You're just kind of YOLOing it, throwing it at the wall, seeing what sticks, and then maybe, just maybe, you'll make enough plays to be able to keep this thing close and have most of America not turn it off in the second half.
It's Denton Day here with you on 105.3 The Fan, college football on overtime on Sirius Satellite Radio. Man, we've had some very manageable ticket prices to get into some of these games, but I saw the get-in-the-door price for this thing right now is $4,000. What makes this so much more attractive?
I guess it's because it's the final game, right? Like, there's always, you know, when you're getting in the door on like a Thursday in the middle of the week, maybe it's not as big of a deal, but because it's a national championship, because you have these two brands, you know, if like SMU was in this or Boise State was in this, I would say those ticket prices probably drop a considerable margin. But because it's Ohio State and because it's Notre Dame, those two massive programs, I definitely think they inflated a little bit. And I mean, Atlanta, they have a nice stadium as well. So you're paying a lot to get in the door, and then you pay next to nothing on food. I've always been jealous of their food prices.
Oh, no, because their food's that's not great. The case in yeah. most other cities. Yeah.
The prices are absolutely unbelievable. Who has who do you think the best player is overall in this game?
Jeremiah Smith. Like, pretty definitively Jeremiah Smith, which is crazy because he's a freshman. But, I mean, he's approaching the territory that I didn't think was possible for a freshman, of not just being the best player in college football, but, like, you can look over the past couple of years and say he might be the best wide receiver that we have seen in quite some time in college football, and he's still only a freshman. If Notre Dame is going to go man-on-man with him, I mean, they got Jesus on their side, but they're going to need him, because if you're going man-on-man with Jeremiah Smith, you're going to see a lot of balls over the top, and he is going to have six catches, a buck 52, and a couple of tutties.
Yeah, how do you expect Notre Dame to approach that? Do you think they could sort of erase him the same way Texas did?
I think they're going to try. You know, there's been conversation this week of, we're not going to change what we're doing. I don't think there's anything wrong changing what you do if it makes your life easier in winning a football game. I understand the pride element of this, of, we've done it this way for all the season. Why would we change now? You should try and change now so you can win the football game. Like, that seems pretty basic to me. I don't think that's hard math to follow. They got to have a safety over the top with him. With him, with Ibuka on the other side, like, you have to have somebody over the top to kind of play center field to make sure that, Will Howard doesn't just throw for 400 yards and four touchdowns, because you can't get these guys off the line of scrimmage.
How good is Arch Manning next year?
I think he's going to be good. I think people were very much, riding the hype because of the last name. I mean, the idea of putting him in over Quinn Ewers, I mean, he really didn't play that much. Right? He played Mississippi State and a bunch of non-Power 4 teams. I think he'll be good. You know, the Manning name certainly helps. I think he's a good kid. I don't know that he is going to be the missing link for Texas to get them to a national championship, though.
Denton, I do want to go back to the Commanders just very quickly here, but this is in a Cowboys interest. What do you think about Cliff and the job he's done? And if you were, say, a fan of another team, would you want him to be your head coach?
Yeah, I definitely would. I think Cliff has said a couple of different times that he's been very honest about kind of the way that his career has been over the past couple of years. I don't know all the details on what went down in Arizona, but it was apparently very, very nasty. Like, going to Thailand without a plane ticket back, kind of nasty. And he's really spoken to how much this year in particular has kind of refound his love of football. And when Cliff Kingsbury loves football, he's pretty damn good. You're also seeing that life is a lot easier when your quarterback isn't 5'6". You know, we talked about the Cliff this year because historically his offenses kind of take a little bit of a drop off at the midway point in the season, but he'd also been operating with Kyler Murray, who can't see over his offensive line. So I think if you want a new offensive mind and you have a quarterback that's at least 6'1", Cliff Kingsbury is absolutely the guy that you should be going after.
Final question for you, Denton. Put some money in my pocket, okay? How are we betting this game tonight? What's your favorite bet, whether the spread, the over-under, some sort of prop? What are we looking at?
I've been on Ohio State at 8.5. If you can get it still at 8.5, I would jump on it. I know that line is adjusting a little bit. Certain books have it at 9. Some may even be up to 9.5. But if you can find it at 8.5, I do like 8.5. I guess the under feels like the smart play, but with this Ohio State team, it feels like the over at 45.5 that feels like something that I should be on. So I'm tentative. I'm waiting. Maybe by the time we kick off, I will play the over, but I've definitely played Ohio State 8.5. And then if you can find a Jeremiah Smith anytime touchdown at positive value, I would jump on that one. I do think he finds his way into the end zone tonight. I think Notre Dame, they're going to do their best to try and stop him, but I don't think they'll have success in doing it.
Denton Day, host of College Football Overtime on Sirius. And enjoy the final, what are we looking at, 4 football games here, this deal, Denton. And thank you so much for your time.
Fellas, appreciate it.
Salute. There he goes. Okay, guy out of D.C. said this is going to be the worst roster that Jaden Daniels plays with in his career. You know, and it's hard to, you know, challenge him too much on that. I'm sure injuries could be a factor, but this isn't really that much of a loaded roster. That's why the Cowboys were able to have so much success against them. And you can tell that the vibe in DC now is that, you know, they've found the guy who's going to allow them to take over this division for the foreseeable future. And, you know, that's nightmare fuel for Cowboys fans, especially because you're locked into your quarterback over the next 4 years. I think what we saw for the most part over the weekend was just how much the better quarterback, you know, figures out a way to get the job done for his team.
Yeah. Yeah. You're in a world where you need a Jaden Daniels and you just sort of you just paid your Jared Goff.
Yeah.
Kind of what you did.
Yes. Yes. Okay, so how are you guys looking at this title game? It starts in 1 hour and 5 minutes. Ohio State, Notre Dame, the over-under 8.5 or 9 points. I would just stay entirely away from that because I feel like Ohio State's going to win, but I have a lot of respect for that Notre Dame defense and, you know, what they've been able to do. I like the angle of, you know, how Michigan's was able to slow down Ohio State and make them earn everything. And I wouldn't be surprised if Notre Dame has a similar strategy to keep it close. But I just can't imagine, after seeing Ohio State and all of their great players, Notre Dame figuring out a way to actually win this game tonight. Do you guys?
Yeah, from a scouting standpoint, you know, I'm going to tell you about a guy that I think you need to watch in this Notre Dame secondary. And, you know, unfortunately, they're not going to have one of the best corners in the country playing for him in this football game. And, you know, because of a hip injury. And I'm talking about Benjamin Morrison, who is a 6'1", 190-pound corner, and who is a stud of a corner. He's a first-round corner, but he's not in this one. But they do have another guy you need to keep an eye on, and Xavier Watts, who is a 6 foot, 203-pound safety, more of a strong safety. This guy is we see Ohio State start to make mistakes, if we see them start to get, Howard starts to get a little careless with the ball, which he hasn't, this Xavier Watts is kind of a right place, right time guy. And he's a converted wide receiver. They've made him to a safety. He is a heck of a football player. He's clutch in every sense of the word. So, you know, if they're, you know, Denton was talking about the ball going downfield, you know, with these receivers. You saw a lot of in-breaking routes with these wide receivers from Ohio State. Keep an eye on Xavier Watts, number 0 for Notre Dame. He could be a difference maker back there when it comes to denying those routes and then making some plays on the ball when it's going down the field. That's a guy that I take the angle of looking at these draftable guys. And Ohio State's got, their defensive line is just littered with them. So yeah, it's going to be a good matchup. Ohio State clearly has the better players and a lot of more NFL players for this draft than what Notre Dame has, but Notre Dame's got a couple, and I mentioned Xavier Watts. If they're going to make some plays in the secondary, it's probably going to have to come from him.
Great stuff, Scouting, as always, from Brian Broaddus. I do want to pass along a note from Bet Online. That's, you know, the guys that book a lot of our guests for us. 89% of the sharp money, that is your wise guys, coming in on Notre Dame plus 8.5.
Yeah.
So sitting at 9 right now, I mean, if you are, you know, considering where do I want to place my wager here, you know, typically the public is a little bit over enamored with the talent and the speed and the recent results. And no doubt Ohio State, very, very impressive. And for that reason, I believe in them. But the sharp money indicator is usually pretty reliable. Okay, we're going to take a look at everything that's been breaking throughout your broadcast day and a lot of NFL news. I just want to make sure I get everything else in there before we get to that. So let me tell you, if you didn't know, Mavs played a day game today, as they always do during the Martin Luther King holiday. Charlotte's 10th win of the season comes at the Mavs' expense. Really missing Luka and Lively. Gafford was incredible. Again, two out of his last three games have been career-type nights. And if you want to trade him right now, I can't imagine that the value is going to get any better. We were talking earlier about Malcolm Brogdon possibly being available. I think Gafford for Brogdon would be an overpay because Brogdon is up there and the value is at center. And I think Gafford's definitely a starting level center for somebody that wants him. So I'd be looking for more than that. But I really think it's time to talk about, you know, Clay and possibly moving on from him. Mike Bacsik was hilarious. He was very frustrated. But, you know, that passion, I believe, is rooted in reality. And if there's any way Klay Thompson would be up for it, you know, I would love to do that talk with him and his agent. Like, man, we're thinking about making you available at the trade deadline. What kind of situation would you like? And if they totally shot it down, but the great trade materialized, I think you would have to, you know, consider what would probably be reported as disrespecting a legend by trading him so soon after signing him to a deal like that and everything that went into it. But I mean, the disappointment is there, and your wing depth is so good. I don't want to put Klay Thompson on the court if I have a viable two-way player who's also shooting above 35% from three. There are so many rebound and missed 50-50 ball opportunities that I just think at this point in the season, Klay Thompson's not going to get any better at those kind of things. Just a player in consistent decline.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem with the idea of being able to offload him. What team would be interested in taking on that contract? You need him to get a little bit hot here.
Yeah.
Because he's not really playing good basketball, and it's not like an expiring deal. Hey, just take this on for the rest of the season. You're locked up for another two seasons after this.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and he was pretty bad today. That was unfortunate. You have the chance to tie the game there late, and just back rims that bad boy. And in the second half of the game, he's 0 for 3 and not giving you much. And especially offensively, it's like, man, if you're not going to be hitting your threes, really, what are you here for?
I mean, maybe a team that's willing to play him 32 to 35 minutes a night still, maybe that would be attractive.
Yeah, I mean, and things get more attractive when you have your full arsenal of players here, and Clay now is getting much better looks just in general, and we've seen how that can impact things. Yeah. And he all of a sudden gets hot, and now the defense is just, they have to stay stuck to him, because when he's hot, he's a guy you still have to worry about.
Yeah.
But in this current configuration, Klay Thompson can't do much for you.
Yeah, it's just one of those big picture, you said it, I don't think you can do that. I just think it makes you look bad as an organization. We finally got a big fish, we finally got a big free agent to actually sign with you, which you're typically complaining about, and then you flip in midseason. This was a postseason move. How does Klay Thompson play in the postseason? I don't think the Mavericks are moving him at all, and I also don't think the value is good enough to get anything in return.
The most exhausting story in the NBA right now, Jimmy Butler wanting out of Miami, says his number one focus is to go to the Suns, but I don't think Pat Riley's going to be bullied into any sort of a deal, and I wouldn't be surprised if they just end up not trading him because, you know, lack of good offers coming in from other teams, a very difficult needle to thread. The 2025 Baseball Hall of Fame inductees will be announced this week. That is tomorrow night on MLB Network, about 5 o'clock Texas time, live from Cooperstown. Two players appear to be locks, Ichiro and CC Sabathia. You know, a couple of iconic figures from the previous decade. Billy Wagner, Carlos Beltran, Andrew Jones, also possibilities, with each around the 75% threshold for enshrinement. Best of luck to those gentlemen tomorrow night. Ben Johnson is going to the Chicago Bears. So that's just, you know, you hope for the best for him and Caleb Williams and everything. But I think it was Calvin Watkins from the Morning News who pointed out earlier on Twitter that, you know, the top candidate available, you know, you really didn't even make any sort of an attempt to interview him, as this Cowboys coaching search, the longer it goes on, the weirder it's getting. If you weren't around last hour, you know, we were talking about the reality or the possibility. I don't know, even know how you guys would categorize this yourselves, but Are they sending everything through the filter of, are you willing to also train Jason Witten to be the next head coach? You know, and that explains why just nobody would be interested in it. The whispers that Kellen Moore, after talking Friday, is now less interested. Mike McCarthy, who after the game in week 18 seemed very intent on wanting to coach this team, after talking with Jerry Jones, I'm good. You know, and if that's the reality of it, we need a big report on ESPN and the morning news and NFL Network exactly how dysfunctional this thing is, and you know, what kind of a fantasy land the Cowboys must be in if you think you can get a good coach to help you continue this rebuild and take you into the next window of opportunity while also having Jason Witten actively training to be the heir apparent. I just don't. You're not going to get anything. You're only going to get a candidate who does not have any other options, which, you know, is probably the way they go about doing things. Okay, once again, we are hoping now that the Chiefs can take the trash out for us when it comes to preventing the Eagles from winning the Super Bowl. Despite winning the last two Super Bowls, the Chiefs are not the odds-on favorite to win the big game in 2 weeks. Las Vegas and Pauley Market giving the Eagles the best odds at winning the Super Bowl at Plus 175 is all the value that's in there, followed by the Chiefs at plus 240, probably because the Chiefs have a tougher opponent here in the AFC title game.
Yes. I would imagine that's exactly what it is, because I think even Pat Mahomes still has the best odds at winning the Super Bowl MVP as it currently stands.
Okay.
But yeah, Chiefs-Bills is, in a lot of people's eyes, the actual Super Bowl.
The Commanders are still plus 650, so that is your best value if you believe in them. A preseason bet on the Commanders would pay off plus 15,000 when the season began. Imagine holding that ticket right now, just needing a couple of more wins to make some mortgage payments, maybe buy a new car or something. Okay, day after the Ravens come up short of their ultimate goal, they still believe it's only a matter of time before they're celebrating a championship with Lamar Jackson. Pro Bowl fullback Patrick Richard saying, it's inevitable. He's going to win a Super Bowl, and I want to be a part of it. It just sucks that it hasn't happened yet. The only two-time MVP to not win a Super Bowl, much less reach one, the 27-25 loss to the Bills, dropped his postseason record to 3-5. So as rough as it is for him, he still has more postseason wins than Dak or Romo.
He's got three.
So there's that for you. Do you guys think Lamar Jackson will win a Super Bowl in his career? This is kind of starting to sound like you know, Zeke or Micah Parsons insisting that, you know, eventually we're going to break through and win this thing.
You got some of it's not on him. Some of it's like the Charles Barkley effect, where he's awesome, but you've got guys that just might be better than you. Mahomes, who's the best. Josh Allen, who's only lost to Mahomes and Burrow. Those three guys just might all be better than Lamar Jackson. He's incredible. But the one thing is, yeah, in the playoffs, the turnovers seem to become abundant. He doesn't do that in the regular season. Last night, I can't put all that on him. I know he had the turnovers were bad. The fumble was horrible. The interception, they got bailed out. The defense got to stop. Big picture, that didn't hurt him. But at the end of the game, when the game was on the line, he did take them 90 yards down the field, score a touchdown, and then ultimately threw a ball that should have been caught for a two-point conversion to tie the game, and then we see what happens.
He was on fire.
Yeah, I can't say that he won't ever win one, but I think the likelihood is no. And the reason is because he's going up against just better quarterbacks.
I think his health is really, we saw the best version of him in the playoffs this year, though, if you look at him.
Yeah, physically.
Physically. And I think as long as he's able to maintain his health, he's going to have a shot to win one of these. Now, will it be with John Harbaugh? I don't know. I mean, that's 17 years now, you know, that Harbaugh has been the head coach of the Ravens, and they've had some successes together. This might need to be a little bit of a different plan for him. Maybe there needs to be something different. You know, like I say, I think his coaches let him down, you know, last night, the way that they navigated that game. So unfortunately, I'm gonna have to say that I think he's got a shot, but I think it's going to have to be with some other coaches.
First team to have a 2,000-yard runner and a 1,000-yard runner in the same season. Just incredible. Yeah. I mean, what is that really worth if you cannot make the game-winning plays from the pocket? You know? I don't know. It'd be nice to know if you'd go back and give Derrick Henry the ball 25 times instead of 16 and design five runs for Lamar Jackson instead of, what was it, zero?
Zero design runs. Yeah, zero design runs for Lamar. And, yeah, I mean, I think that Lamar has improved in a big way when it comes to being a pocket passer and being able to just navigate the pocket and not just immediately take off, but hang tough and still deliver balls down the field. And, again, like you mentioned, that last drive was outstanding. He was, and outside of the two turnovers in the game, he was phenomenal. But it is going to be tough to consistently, like, we always look at the Ravens for the last few years and it's like, do they have the best roster in the league? They're right up there, and you still can't get it done. The competition is very, very heavy and strong when it comes to the quarterbacks in the AFC. And Broadus, you mentioned the health, like the idea that he's going to be able to maintain his health the way he plays, and as the athleticism starts to leave you, can you make up for it? Like, Peyton Manning was able to end up winning Super Bowls, but he was all cerebral.
Yeah,
he wasn't a guy that depended on his athleticism.
Yeah.
if you're a guy that plays the way Josh Allen plays, or like a Jaden Daniels, you kind of feel like, man, you need to get that thing done here before you turn 30 years old.
Yeah, and that'd leave, what, two more years for Jackson? I think he's 28 years old. Did you guys see Texans cornerback Chris Boyd pushing Frank Ross, the special teams coach? D'Amico Ryan saying today, I don't think he was pushing Frank in a disrespectful manner. I think it was more so he was fired up and overly fired up. I thought he made a play to help us, so that narrative that he's pushing a coach, that's incorrect. He did get penalized on the play.
He threw his helmet off, yeah.
And it really looked like the coach was like, dude, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
Right as he come up to him, like, well, I'll tell you what I'm doing, and then pushed him. But sometimes it's hard to tell in intent and attitude and tone there from the sideline. Josh Allen says, does not really matter that we beat the Chiefs once again in the regular season. Doesn't matter how well you perform. When you get to the playoffs, it's hard to beat a team twice. We understand that. He also said the Chiefs team they beat is not the same team they will face on Sunday. The Bills have beaten the Chiefs in the regular season four consecutive years. Just unbelievable if Kansas City gets them again. That's a new kind of misery, and that would be poetic with their Super Bowl flops from the 90s.
It would be.
Bad things happen in fours if you're the Bills.
Oh, man.
Okay. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Robert Saleh, a big interview with the Jags. Brian Schottenheimer listed as the betting favorite to be the next head coach of the Cowboys, but multiple reporters and insiders kind of shooting that down today. I know it was Nick Harris and Mishota both penning articles today saying Kellen Moore still feels like the favorite to them.
And Schefter as well kind of shooting down the Schottenheimer stuff.
All righty, it is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. A little bit of a chuck wagon coming up next. Zachary, where are you taking it?
Let's do it. We got a legendary food and beer prices at the Natty tonight. Who you taking, Buckeyes or the Irish? That's next.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.